Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino's down there in Studio X. He's making sure everything will run smoothly. You're you, and you can join the show here on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We are brought to you by the good folks at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. That's my hometown. A lot of great stuff going on in Vicksburg over the next couple weekends. We'll talk about that later in the show. But we'll start with Mississippi State baseball, and I was in Oxford this weekend and watched two not great baseball teams going at it, and full credit to Ole Miss. They got the job done. They got the wins. Great comeback on Saturday and then total domination on Sunday. And it puts Mississippi State in a situation now where, you know, they could have had a little leeway. You know, if they had won a road series, that gives you a little room to maneuver. To say if something goes wrong in one of your remaining home series, or if you do get swept at Vanderbilt or at Arkansas. State doesn't have that anymore. Now they have to win all of their remaining home series, and they cannot get swept on the road to finish at 500. And finishing at 500, I'm kind of at the point with them that that's what they're going to have to do. I don't think that 14 wins is going to be enough for Mississippi State at this point. We talked about it at length yesterday on Sports Talk, and we talked about it on the podcast as well. That win last night, it might as well have been a loss to Alcorn because it was an RPI killer. State dropping down to 55 in the RPI. I guess they've actually picked up a couple spots. They were 57 earlier in the day. Their strength of schedule now 205 out of conference. The non-conference losses that they had early in the season have killed them. And their postseason resume is just not going to be impressive unless they pull off some big things here towards the end. Now, that could change, right? If they sweep Auburn, if they easily get the 2 out of 3 from Alabama, if they can sweep Missouri, then, yeah, you start talking about 16, 17 conference wins, yeah. You're right. You're going to be in the tournament. That's no questions asked. The state was in the latest Baseball America projection. There's a 3 seed in the Coastal Carolina regional. Lovely place. But they just don't have a lot of room for mistakes anymore. You know, when you look at some of these losses and who they've lost to. They lost 2 games to Austin Peay. Austin Peay is 202 in the RPI. Central Arkansas is 217. Central Arkansas is 13-21 overall, and Mississippi State lost a home game. That's the other thing that kills you is that it's a home game that you're losing. Air Force, currently 100 in the RPI. That's a home loss to a 100. I mean, thankfully, they're not 101. It'd be an even bigger blow. South Alabama not too far above them at 82. That's a neutral site loss. So Georgia Southern is not a terrible loss. They're at 58, but it's not a great one. And then you combine that with the way State's SEC schedule has looked. LSU, when you win that series, you think, okay, gosh, they took 2 out of 3 from the defending national champions. And then you find out that LSU has fallen victim to the national championship curse that bit State and Ole Miss. And they're terrible this year. Ole Miss was a team that, you know, was not good coming into that series. They're still not a good team. But you had a chance to get some wins there, and you didn't. Now you're going to play an Auburn team that's 2-13 in the conference. Somehow Auburn is still a top 40 team in the RPI. They're 35th at 19-17. Why? Because their strength of schedule is 2. Mississippi State's, if you're wondering, is 49th. What's that? What's Auburn's out of conference strength of schedule is 121. It just goes to show how tough Auburn is. Auburn has not gotten the best start to conference play. They've played Vanderbilt, who's currently ranked 13th, Arkansas, who's 2nd, Texas A&M, who's currently number 1, Tennessee, who's currently number 4, and Kentucky, who's currently number 3. So they've played the top 4 teams in the nation, plus a top 15 Vanderbilt team, and they're 2-13 overall. So if you're Auburn, you're looking at your schedule, it goes, okay, at Mississippi State, at LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, and then Alabama. They have a chance to get some wins coming up, but they got to start. It's late in the day for Auburn. So for State, you know, they're sitting at 7-8. As it sits right now, they're in fine shape to make Hoover. And if they finish at 500, they'll probably be in. They'll be a bubble team and they'll be a 3 seed, but they'll be in. But you just have to keep look. You're going to look back at some of these losses, especially as I said, when you see that how bad LSU is playing right now, when you see how bad Florida is playing right now. Florida has dropped a ton in the RPI. Where are they? I thought they would be Florida. Where did you go, Florida? They're currently 42nd in the RPI. They're 19-17 overall. State had a chance to sweep that series and only got one. So at the time, you're like, all right, well, you went on the road to a top 10 team and you got one. That's good. Now you're going to look at it and go, you should have swept because this team's not any good. LSU is kind of the same way. Georgia, I don't really know what Georgia is. Getting 2 from them was good, but I mean, they're still 10th in the RPI. By the way, that's what's holding State up right now. If Georgia wasn't 10th in the RPI, if they were 20th or 30th, I mean, State might be down in the 60s in RPI. And RPI is not, you know, it's not the end-all be-all. I feel like I'm saying RPI a lot, by the way. It's not that it's the end-all be-all, but it is the tool that they're going to use to put these brackets together when we get to, you know, Memorial Day weekend. And State, you know, it's the opposite of basketball. In basketball, the numbers all season long loved Mississippi State. That's why even when they were struggling in the middle of the conference season, there was never any question in my mind they would end up making the tournament. This is the opposite. This team, the numbers do not like them, and they shouldn't because they have bad losses. Mississippi State currently sitting on how many quad 4 losses? 3. Quad 3 losses. They have 6 losses to teams that are, quad 3 is, I think, yeah, quad 3 sub 100, basically. So that loss to South Alabama, the loss to Air Force, the loss to, there's another one in there. Those are all quad 3 losses. And then those, I mean, the losses to Austin Peay and Central Arkansas are just killers. Quad 4 losses. We said prior to the season that this non-conference schedule was set up to win a bunch of games so that if you were around 500 in the SEC, you had a really impressive record. You know, if you were 15-15, that should have meant that you were something like 38-18 overall because you just mowed through your non-conference. And instead, State's going to be 15-15, and they're going to be sitting on something like 33-24. Or something like that, 34-23. I mean, just not an impressive record at all. So I'm just telling you that right now, that if this team drops another game they're not supposed to drop, if you know, they don't have a lot of non-conference games left, and one of them obviously is the game with Ole Miss in Jackson or in Pearl, which, by the way, I don't know if we've mentioned that or not. Sports Talk Mississippi and Thunder and Lightning will be there at Trustmark Park just a couple of weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, we will be there. So that's something that's cool. But, I mean, you look at, you know, they go to Memphis next week, can't lose that game. They have the game with Ole Miss. And then the only other non-conference game they have is a home game against North Alabama. Can't lose that game. And, you know, you're saying, oh, they won't lose that game. Buddy, They've lost games like this already. North Alabama is 271 in the RPI. That's going to be sort of similar to what happened last night with Alcorn. Regardless of whether or not State wins, it's going to hurt their RPI. It will drop them down two or three spots. So I'm just going to tell you right now, need to do a rain dance on that day. Or somebody needs to, like, you know, start a fire in a bathroom or something. I don't know. Just, you can't play that game. Similar to what happened to Ole Miss a few years ago with Arkansas State, where they just came up with it. They're like, hey, we're canceling the game. You got to do it. Because it may be the difference between making the tournament and not. It may be the difference. I have another baseball thing I want to talk about when we come back. And it's more of a big picture question about this season, about the future, about Chris Lemonis. So I want to get your thoughts. Hit me on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. And just start thinking about this question. Is this good enough? Is this good enough for Mississippi State baseball? That's the question we're going to answer when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now,
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I have to let the bass drop here. Is that going to happen? Very good. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian. Hey, Dad. Rhino down there in the Studio X keeping me guessing with the tunes tonight. I was just like, is that ever going to crank up a little bit? All right. It worked, though. It worked. Good job, Rhino. Rhino always plays the best tunes. I have the best bumper music of any show on this network. I'll put my music up against anyone's. Certainly. Thanks to Rhino. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, who want to remind you that this weekend, the Vicksburg Arts and Music Festival, from 5 until 11 at the Vicksburg Convention Center. It's free to attend, but you should probably bring some lawn chairs, some picnic baskets. You can relax while enjoying the music and the food. There's a pop-up shop featuring a variety of vendors and a visual arts exhibition with regional artists displaying and selling their one-of-a-kind art. There's music from Bobby Rush, compositions, The Chill, and much more, and plenty of food vendors on the sites with food and, as it says here, libations. I love a good libation. For more information, call 601-630-2929, or you can email vccdirector@vicksburg.org. I need a vicksburg.org email address. Not that I would ever check it, I'm just saying. Here's my question for Mississippi State baseball. Chris Lemonis deserves some credit in that he's gotten this team back to a point where they are poised at this point to make the postseason. And they were at the midway point of the SEC season. And if they were doing regionals today, they would be in. Great. Because that was a concern. I before the season, I didn't know that it was going to be the case. But is being a 3 seed in Coastal Carolina's regional enough? Now, before the season, I debated this with my podcast co-host, Robbie Falk, and I said, Robbie, if they're not hosting, I would still consider making a change because this is Mississippi State baseball, and I believe that there's a standard for Mississippi State baseball, and that standard is you should be hosting regionals, contending to host super regionals as a national seed, and contending to be in Omaha. I'm not going to say every year because I know injuries happen, things happen. But in a five-year cycle, four out of five. And instead, you're going on 3 straight years of not hosting a regional and 2 years of not even making it to the SEC tournament. So is this enough, in your opinion, to continue like this? Or does, even if this team makes the postseason, should Mississippi State, should Zach Selman consider a change? That is my question that I want an answer to on the ceasefire text line. 601-879-4395. We've got some text in here already. Trey and Saltillo, no, this isn't good enough for MSU baseball. Jeff and Pontotoc, as an Ole Miss fan, this is not good enough for Mississippi State baseball. When the Ole Miss fans are saying, you know, most of them you would think would be like, hey, yeah, keep him forever. Not happening. Jeff and Pontotoc being very honest there, I think. From the 662, if you're not hovering around being a top 16 seed every year, it's kind of not up to the standard that's been set since the late 70s. The late 70s, it's almost 2025. He's right. 50 years, that's kind of been the standard, was to be in contention to go to Omaha. I mean, Chris Lemonis, I think, would tell you that the standard of Mississippi State baseball is to go to Omaha. And this will be the third straight year where not only are they not going there, they're not close to going there. They're not losing in the Super Regional Final or anything like that. They're not making the tournament, or they're just barely skating in. If MSU doesn't take two of three for its remaining home seasons and win all the midweeks, head coaching change should happen. That's from the 769 area code. Paul says this is 100% not okay for state baseball. Okay. Another Ole Miss fan. Truly shocked it's not working with Lemonis. He really screams baseball guy and players coach. It feels like a great fit for state that just isn't working for some reason. Bizarre, really. I just know that there was a time where Chris Lemonis, every button he pushed was the correct one. That 2021 season, he could do no wrong. Every time he made a decision, it was the right decision. And obviously that's going to regress to the mean at some point, but now we're regressing the other way. Now we're going to the point where every time he makes a decision, it backfires. And that's tough. And I agree, Chris Lemonis, baseball coach, baseball guy. No question about that. But at the same time, you got to get these results. If they make the supers, he will be good. I agree with that. Then get out of the regional, then get to a super regional. No, nobody's making a change to the super regional. 100% agree with you. But are they going to get there? This team, the way they've played, they're so up and down. Do you trust them to be able to get to the super regionals? I don't. I don't right now. Tim from Belmont, I've been going since 1984. It's not us. Hail State. There you go. I have heard you compare state baseball to Alabama or Georgia football. So they wouldn't put up with it, so it's time. Another Ole Miss fan. First off, thank you to my Rebel listeners. I had a great time in Oxford this weekend. Some great food up there, too. Really enjoyed myself. And the people at Ole Miss, y'all might not believe this, but the people who work for Ole Miss in the media relations department couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be nicer. But I have made that comparison, and you know, Georgia's the better one. I guess Alabama's been good for decades, right? They've won a ton of national titles. Georgia won one in 1980 and then didn't win one for 41 years. I think that's a better comparison. And I've said it before, Smart won back-to-back national titles. If last year, you know, last year they were number one most of the season, and then they lose in the SEC championship game. But if last year they had gone 4-8, is Kirby Smart still the coach at Georgia today? I put it at like 60-40, yes, but there would have been a lot of talk about moving on. If he had back-to-back seasons like that, there's no chance in you-know-where that he gets a third season. No chance whatsoever. But if they did, if they did something that I would consider unthinkable and gave him a third season, and in the third season he went to the Music City Bowl, he is for sure gone. But that's kind of where State's trending right now, right? Won a national title, two losing seasons, and then they're going to be a three seed or a two seed at best in somebody else's regional. So there you go. Disclaimer, never liked him. Yeah, you didn't like him? Why? He's a nice enough guy. Regardless of personal opinion, it's becoming obvious he ain't the guy. Denny and Flowood, if he fails to make the tournament, he's got to go. That's the problem, though, Denny, is I think he is going to make the tournament. So then it becomes the next question. What's a hiring battle between Ole Miss and State look like? I had a funny thought about that. I won't share it. But I think Ole Miss immediately goes to Cliff Godwin, and he takes the job. And then for State, I don't know. They have a lot of options. I think Ole Miss would have a lot of options. Let me clear that up. Ole Miss would have options if they wanted to go another way, but they know they can call Cliff Godwin, and it's done. He'll take the job. Does the fact that other college baseball programs have started to pay attention to baseball have anything to do with the decline of Mississippi State and Ole Miss? The window may be closing. No. Because there's a difference between paying attention and paying the attention that State and Ole Miss do. The fan support, the money that pours into the program. Those State and Ole Miss still are 100% capable of being year-in, year-out Omaha teams. No question. We have no leaders on the team. Johnny Long is the only one with a pair of huevos. My fear is they get hot like Ole Miss in 22 and we're stuck with them for four more years. I would just go ahead and tell you this. If they get hot like Ole Miss in 22 and win another national title, buddy, I'm fine. Are we really going to care? Are we really going to complain? I can't believe they won the national title. I wanted him fired so bad. Now you've gone too far. Nobody's agreeing with that. If they win a national title, if he wins a second national title, he can stay for a little while. That's too far. Now you've gone, you've lost me on that one. I don't like the way he handles the team. I think he needs to be more in control with the boys. I think Ron Polk would have put that catcher on the bench. I don't know. It's just a different era of college baseball. I mean, you're probably correct. In his day, that wouldn't have gone, but this is a little different. Do you think we have the players to be better with a better coach? Paul, the thing about that is you can get the players. Because the transfer portal exists. And with the right coach, with what I know State can do NIL-wise with baseball, I have no doubt that they can get the right players. And I think Lamonas can get the right players. He was certainly in on the right guys these last few years. You can make a strong case that State finished second for Paul Skeens, for Luke Holman, for Braden Montgomery. Those guys are difference makers. Kyle Stephen has been a difference maker, but I don't think anybody knew that coming out of the portal. The rest of those guys have not been. We'll see. My friend, that vintage St. Al shirt is awesome. It really is. It really is. Shout out to my buddy Delwin Irwin, who I think his daughter made this for me. I'm really repping Vicksburg tonight. I got Vicksburg Convention and Bureaus right up here on the screen if you're watching at Super Talk TV, and I'm wearing my St. Al vintage shirt. Somebody asked, is this one of my shirts from high school? None of those still exist. They were tattered to death, but my goodness, I'd have to lose another 80, 90 pounds to fit into one of those. All right, we're going to go to football when we come back. Spring game this weekend, kind of. It's kind of a spring game. It's more of a spring game than what Ole Miss did. We'll put it that way. What do I want to see? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Don't ask me why I got like caught up in that song there. I was just like, oh, wait, I got to start talking again. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino, you're on your game tonight. I just want to let you know. I want to give you that compliment. Make sure you're hearing me here. You are bringing the no pun intended. You are bringing the thunder, though. What do we got here? Vicksburg National Military Park Fee-Free Day is this Saturday, April 20th. This is National Park Week, and on Saturday, visitors can enjoy free admission at the Vicksburg National Military Park at 3201 Clay Street. For more information, call 601-636-0583. If you are a Civil War buff, and I know a lot of us here in this state are, and you have not been to the National Military Park in Vicksburg, I don't know how you can call yourself a Civil War buff. And if you traveling, it's just a great place to stop, look at all the cool stuff. You learn a lot about the Civil War and about the city of Vicksburg. Great stuff. I definitely encourage you to check it out. If you can check it out for free, you absolutely should. So this Saturday, speaking of this Saturday, Mississippi State spring game at Davis Wade Stadium. Some guy named Richard Cross on the call. I'm not sure where they dug him up from, but he'll be there with the great Cole Kublik. We all love Cole. This Cross guy, though, I'm not too sure about him. 1 o'clock start, though. Free admission, obviously. Not a true spring game by any stretch of the imagination. Now it's not going to be. You know, they're not drafting teams. It's just offense versus defense. It's not. How do I put it? It's not like you've seen in years past. It's also not going to be what Ole Miss did. Ole Miss did it as a full-on, almost like a carnival kind of atmosphere there. So it'll be a little bit more structured than that. But Lebby has told us, and we're talking to Lebby tomorrow, so we'll have some more insight into what the scoring is going to be like. They said a creative scoring system, but that could be anything. The mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. So it's going to be like ones versus twos, twos versus ones. I'm sure we'll see some ones versus ones. But you'll have a chance to see all three quarterbacks, I would think. You'll see Blake Chapin, Chris Parson, and Michael Van Buren. They should all get some snaps. So what do I want to see is, I guess, what my question is, right? What do I want to see from this that, what can I take from this whole thing? You know, we haven't had a chance to see practice at all during this spring. Jeff Lebby has had that on lockdown. Then on top of that, we haven't had a chance to talk to the quarterbacks. We have not talked to Blake Chapin, not one time. And if that's the way Lebby wants to do his program, I have no problem with that. Again, I say this many times, though. My problem is when we try to get in the middle, right? Either no access or all access. I don't want some access. Some access is wasting my time. Give me no access so I know there's no access, or give me full access so I can plan accordingly. So, but if you tell me, hey, you can be there for 20 minutes of practice, you're not going to see me. Yeah, call me a part-timer if you will, some people. Anyway, but I want to see the ball in the air. Down the field, 40, 50-yard throws, vertical routes. That's what I want to see from Blake Chapin and company on Saturday. Something that I did not see much of the past 4 years. You know, I didn't see much of that vertical passing game. We talked about it so much last year in the offseason about how that the Barbey offense was going to be more about the vertical passing game, and it never panned out. By the way, just a complete non sequitur here, but I don't know there's a single team in college football I'm more interested to watch this year than Houston with Kevin Barbey running the offense. Because if it looks really good, I'm going to have some things to say about that. About certain people holding things back. So, at the running back position, That reminds me. Hold on, we gotta change course immediately. Rhino, I need the portal. I need the portal opened. Can you open the portal for us here? We need that to happen. I totally forgot about that. Very good. Because Mississippi State picked up a running back commitment last weekend from Rashad Amos from the Miami of Ohio football program, who was a 1,000-yard rusher, had double-digit touchdowns for the Red Hawks, and was the number one running back in the portal at that time. And so he is committed to Mississippi State. Also visiting this weekend is another running back. Damian Martinez is the name. And he is coming in from Oregon State. And he rushed for 1,300 yards a year ago. We talked to Jeff Lebby 2 weeks ago and asked about the running back position. And he said, got to get better at that position. This is what he's talking about. Jeff Lebby is not one of these coaches, things change when you start recruiting your own guys, but there is no positional loyalty with Jeff Lebby. There is, we're going to get better. If we can get better, bring another guy in. I will tell you right now, as much as I Lebby likes Blake Chapin, if another quarterback jumped into the portal that he thought was better than him and he thought he could get him to Mississippi State, he would recruit him. So that's what State's looking at right now, is they're trying to get better in the running back room. So I don't really know what I'm going to see from the running backs this weekend, because obviously it's a spring game, and you can take some things from the passing game. I think in a spring game sometimes you can see are they really committed to trying to throw the ball deep, or are they, because if they're not going to throw the ball deep in this game that means nothing, this exhibition practice, they're certainly not going to do it when the lights are on. I learned that with Sylvester Croom. But with the running game, I don't know how much you can take away. The guy I'm interested in seeing is Kevon Lee. a guy who transferred in here a year ago from Penn State and never really got going. But this is a player who led Penn State in rushing two seasons ago. Anything is creative scoring after last year. You aren't wrong, my friend. You aren't wrong. Defensively, I want to see the depth chart because I don't know what it is because I don't get to go to practice. I want to see what's the starting 11 on defense. If you said right now, Brian, give me your starting 11 on defense, and then I got to put it up against the actual starting 11, if I missed like eight guys, I wouldn't be totally surprised. I have a decent idea who I think will start, but I have no clarity for sure, especially in the secondary. The secondary is the focus of the first segment on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, and Robbie and I are both in agreement. We're like, look, there's just not a lot of proven guys there. That's why when we talk about the portal, State's going to have to be active there. They got to get some guys in the secondary because they just don't have anybody who's proven. Your most proven cornerback, Bryce Pollock, played like half the season. At the safety position, Corey Ellington got a lot of snaps, so did Hunter Washington, but beyond them, there's just not a lot of snaps there. So I don't, you know, this defense, I have no idea what to expect. Coleman Hutzler is a first-time coordinator, so I don't have anything to base anything off of. You know, David Turner is a veteran defensive line coach, so I want to trust his judgment, but he's playing with a bunch of guys that either have never played or when they have gotten a chance to play haven't really done anything that's overly impressive. At the linebacker position, you're replacing, 7,632 tackles from Bukie Watson and Jet Johnson. You got to replace those 7,632 tackles. So who's going to do that? You know, Stone Blanton's been banged up this spring, so I don't know how much he's going to even play on Saturday, if at all. So defense might just be something we have to continue our questions about going deep into, may take us all the way to kickoff, to be totally honest with you. From special teams, I just want to see Kyle Ferry making field goals, man. When he lines up, I want it to go through the uprights. I don't have any other questions. I'm interested to see who punts. You know, Keelan Cremins, who punted some for State last year, hit the portal. I think Andrew Osteen is still there. Maybe he could punt, but he's been more of a kicker. Ethan Pulliam has been practicing with the football team, but I got to think he'll be at baseball. He got his first career start on Tuesday, and he played pretty well. So, I mean, I know it's against Alcorn, but you know, maybe they want to continue that moment. I don't know. And, of course, it's a scrimmage. They may not punt at all. They may just say, just move the ball to the 30, move the ball to the 20, do whatever. So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like I have some things I want to see, but I have no idea if I will actually see them. I think I'll see the vertical stuff, though. Don't you think Lemmy needs to show that off a little bit? Needs to show, hey, guys, don't worry, I get it. We're going to be throwing the ball, don't you worry. I want to see Stonka Burnside get a catch. Maybe Mario Craver, maybe J.J. Harrell. See those freshman receivers make some contributions early just so you can get some excitement going. Excitement's the key thing here, right? That's why I have some faith in this spring game because I think State wants to get fans excited, and the only way to do that is to show off some offense in this. So I feel like, you know, the rules of the game are already slanted towards the offense anyway. They may go a step further with all that. They may really, you know, try to loosen the belt and get people get some points on the board there in Starkville this weekend. No mention of there'll be any eating contests. Depending on what it is, I might sign up. If it's hot dogs, no, absolutely not. Those are disgusting. I don't eat hot dogs. But if it's like, you know, wings or maybe brisket, we can do brisket, ice cream, cheesecake. If there was a cheesecake eating contest, I would enter that. I would. Rhino, we only got like 30 seconds here, but eating contest. Real quick, what would you want to eat?
Sushi, as long as there's no cream cheese.
That's a good choice. I could put that away, too. Good call. We'll wrap it up when we get back. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
If you're feeling anxious, Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap things up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg.com is the website. And next weekend, the Vicksburg Pickleball Open Tournament. That begins 8 o'clock a.m. starting on April the 27th at the Halls Ferry Park at 257 Halls Ferry Park Road. It's a $60 entry fee. It's the one event. Additional events are $10. So you pay the one registration. You can play in one event, and then you can play as many other events as you like for $10. And it is sanctioned by the Southern Pickleball Association. So again, that's April 27th through the 28th, the Vicksburg Pickleball Open Tournament at the Halls Ferry Park in Vicksburg. Big news here at Mississippi State this past week. A couple of SEC championships have made their way here via the women's golf team. First off, Julia Lopez Ramirez is a back-to-back SEC individual women's golf champion, so congrats to her. But then she led her team to a team victory on Tuesday, and Mississippi State, for the first time, I believe, in school history, SEC champions taking a 3-2 match play game, match play event over Texas A&M. Really cool. And that program, you know, under Coach Charlie Ewing has been really good in the past couple of years. Was in the national championship hunt, I guess the final stages of the tournament a few years back, just last year. And really good program, up and coming, up moving in the right direction. I'm making every effort that I can to get Coach Ewing on with me on Thunder and Lightning, either here on the show or on the podcast. So hopefully we can get him on to talk about his team, and of course the NCAA tournament coming up, so they'll be in good shape there to possibly bring Mississippi State a women's golf national title to go with that conference championship. So congrats to those ladies, really really good job, and it's fun. I'm one of these guys, you know. Do I keep up with women's golf, men's tennis, things like that? No, I won't lie to you, I don't really, but it's fun to see them succeed, you know, because those guys they work. The people on the women's golf team, the men's tennis team, the soccer teams, the softball teams, they work hard. They work just as hard as anybody playing football, men's basketball, baseball. Work just as hard, deserves just as much respect and credit. So give it to them. Softball, they're struggling right this second, actually. Looking at them, they're losing to South Alabama. But that's a team that right now, I assume they'll turn that around. On the verge of possibly hosting its first ever regional at Neuse Park. Took a game from Tennessee last weekend. They're just in really good shape. The SEC in softball, if you don't keep up with college softball, however hard you think the SEC is in football and baseball, it's harder in softball. You know, only 13 teams play. Vanderbilt doesn't do softball. And I think it was 2 years ago, all 13 made the NCAA tournament. Now, last year, Mississippi State was down. You know, the year after going to the Super Regionals and hosting a Super Regional, they were down last year. Coach Ricketts did not play around with that. She got it turned around immediately. Now they're a top, you know, 10 team, top 15 team wherever you look, and they're playing some really good ball. So I think they'll turn this around tonight against softball, against South Alabama, and put themselves very much on pace to host a regional for the first time at Neuse Park. Also, back into the portal, Rhino. I'm sorry to put you on the spot like this, but I you know, the things happen. I can't do anything about it. Yes. Mississippi State men's basketball. He just committed today. You're going to have to let me slide here. But I think it's Nwoko has committed to Mississippi State. Only played an average about 9 minutes a game down in Miami last year, but a 6'10", 240-pound center. State needs some big guys down there. Is that who I think will start at center for Mississippi State in 2024-25? No. I think they're still on the lookout for that guy. But a quality depth piece, yes, you'll take that at this early stages of the portal game. So Chris Jans continues to find guys in the portal. I think, you know, the next coming week or so, you're going to see some more names casting their lot, as we say, with Mississippi State. And same with football. You know, the spring portal window is open. You've seen some guys go in from Mississippi State. I saw Trent Singleton, the safety, went in just the other day. Keelan Crimmins, the punter that I mentioned, went in. Luke Evans, who was a backup cornerback, is in. State hasn't lost anybody that would make you go, oh, that's a big loss, or oh, that's somebody they were counting on this year. But I would imagine that State right now probably is going to be looking at another 7-8 guys to hit the portal. And then they'll probably want to bring in 2 or 3, maybe 4 more guys, and that'll balance everything out to get the numbers down to 85 and kind of move on from there. So the portal never closes, friends. It's like the great eye of Sauron. It's ever watching us at all times. So Super Bowl Dog Weekend. Hope to see you in Starkville this weekend. If I run into you, please say hello. Love meeting you guys. And things like that. So, for Rhino, down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks so much, as always, for tuning in here to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. We'll be back with you next week, and of course, 2 weeks from now in Pearl at the Governor's Cup. I got to win that if I want to tie Richard. Otherwise, folks, I'm going to be wearing red and blue at the Palmer home. We know nobody wants that, so we'll see what we can do. Talk to you guys again next week. Appreciate you. Talk to you later.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.